Hello, the internet, and welcome to the Daily Zeitgeist for Monday, October 16th, 2017, episode 1 of season 2. My name is Jack O'Brien. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Hello, and shout out to that one guy on Twitter who said I was mad funny. Thank you so much. You kept me from weeping last night.
All right, and in our third seat today is Adam Rohn's Everything writer and a writer for the Daily Zeitgeist, Allison Zeidman.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you guys?
I'm good.
We're great. We're excited to have you.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it nice when things just line up like that?
Yes,
you know, it's just so
great. You guys can see her eye contact game is on point right now.
We don't make eye contact in this studio. I'm sorry.
I'll stop.
No, it's something new.
I'm just going to look at my cuticles for the rest of the show.
Never looked at any of these people's faces before.
Jack's not allowed to look at another woman unless mother is in the room.
That's right. Let's get into your under. What's something you believe is overrated, Allison?
Okay, I'm gonna come out real strong.
Ooh.
Real hot. Bacon.
Ooh.
Overrated. I will add that I've only ever eaten bacon once.
Okay.
And it was not a great experience.
Wait, what's so, explain your relationship to pork with us that you've only had bacon once.
Okay, so I grew up Jewish and like we mostly kept kosher. And then as an adult, I'm pretty much a vegetarian, but I did try bacon once. Some friends had some bacon.
Now,
and they were like,
was
you
it
want
crispy
to try
bacon
some of this?
Or was it?
I think it was pretty crispy.
Okay.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Was it applewood smoked?
I don't know. It was like, it was probably like bodega bacon. It was a New York.
Yeah, bodega bacon.
Okay. It's not that great.
Well, we should have you back for maybe a bacon flight.
Maybe a bacon. Yeah.
A bacon flight.
A bacon flight. Yeah.
Yes. There are many.
Flight of bacon.
Flight of bacon.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
I was just not impressed.
All right. Yeah. I can't get mad at that.
I've been told that I'm missing out all my
life.
Yeah.
If you're not a meat eater and then you try it, like, I can see how. Mm-hmm. But if you were like,
it is the most meat.
Yeah, exactly. It's peak meat.
It is the most meat.
Peak meat.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
But wait,
that bacon might have been overrated.
I still can't say it's overrated. I think it's earned its spot.
Is it your favorite?
No, bacon's incredible.
Not my
favorite.
I don't think it's overrated though. But I understand. I understand where you're coming from, so I can't really hate on that.
Yeah.
All right. What's underrated?
That was very understanding of you guys. Okay.
Yeah, we're not like the internet that's like, what? Bacon is what I live for.
We're gonna get some angry tweets. Though,
I hope so.
Probably there's gonna be a whole
Come
Reddit thread about this.
Yeah.
This feminist hates bacon.
They're anti-bacon screed.
Okay. What's
underrated?
I would say celebrity gossip, which I know we're going to be talking about later on the show.
Yeah, we are.
And I love it. I can't get enough. I'm not really sure why. I've tried to intellectualize it. Like, there was someone who did like this TED talk about how, you know, the tendency to engage in gossip, in particular celebrity gossip, it's like an anthropological lens for how we view society and how we relate to one another. And it's like, or I just like kind of can't get enough of the Kardashians for some reason.
That and like the Schadenfreude of it too. It's like, they're broke.
Right.
Love that. Tory Spelling. Take that.
Well, you thought you were successful.
Wait, but you're saying underrated in that it's
Well, I think people don't
value,
take it
or
take it seriously. And I do kind of believe that it like it does in some ways start conversations about society and about how we relate to one another as human beings.
Yeah.
Especially as more gross stuff comes out.
Right.
Like take the Kardashians, like Rob and Black China sparked some discussions about domestic violence that maybe people wouldn't have had otherwise.
Right. Or like revenge porn.
Right.
Like
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess.
And from an anthropological standpoint, like, don't they think that gossip is like how human language evolved in the first place?
Yeah. Like ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, apparently a lot of it was like,
this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, can you believe
this bitch, the pharaoh?
Right. This pharaoh was fucking with this pharaohess. I don't know.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, that's what they're.
Can
called.
You believe this snake onk scarab Anubis head? The first Us Weekly.
And then like the hieroglyphic for an air horn.
right.
All right. I forgot to ask you, what's the weirdest thing you've searched on Google in the past week?
Oh, I should have checked about what what I've been up to. It's probably some like dumb skincare thing. That's not weird. It's just like, why do you think about this so much?
Your skin looks great.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Noticing. Wow. What's your regimen?
I'll do a little plug for The Ordinary. I'm a big fan of that line.
Well, your skin is anything
it's
but.
It's cheap.
Wow. Shout out to Ordinary.
You're being so nice.
Hey, skincare, I think that's underrated.
To all the listeners out there, I want you to know that I am an actual Bridge troll, and Miles is being very kind.
She has a sheet over her head.
That paper bag looks amazing.
Is that recycled? Is that all post-consumer material?
Or maybe we could try the segment Wackest Person in Your Social Media or weirdest Person on Your Social Media.
Okay.
If you have an example, which I know you do.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit before, and I just want to reiterate that I'm not judging, I'm not shaming, I'm just fascinated.
Yeah, we're not calling out names anymore.
So there's someone that I know in real life and also follow on Twitter who a few months ago, me and a few friends started noticing that he was constantly tweeting about the new Planet of the Apes movie and retweeting like every piece of news, marketing promotions, everything about the movie. And it's like, what's going on? Like, is he working on this film in some capacity, which like I didn't think so? Is he friends with someone who works on the movie? Is he just that big a fan? And after, you know, some investigation, which is basically just like DMing other people that know this person on Twitter and be like, do you know what's up with this? And like, no, I've been trying to figure out too. Some people asked him directly, and he just like evaded the question and was just like, haha, yeah, who knows? It was just like, what? Like, if you are like a big fan, just say that. I don't know. So,
yeah, or is he like one of these bots paid by the studio to
grassroots
enthusiasm about the film?
Yeah, honestly, it looked like his account was hacked. But then, like, Sue, one of the people that I was like DMing with like three different people at the same time all about this situation, because I had tweeted like without like naming a name or anything, I was just sort of like tweeting about how I want it. This is like the great mystery of my life, and
right.
I feel like I want to know what's behind it. So someone sent me screenshots of like his Facebook account where like people were asking, like he's also posting the stuff on Facebook and people are asking like in the comments and he's engaging with them. So it seems like it's not just like an account hack or bots.
He just is so down with the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah.
And has anybody tried trolling him and just being like, yo, that movie sucks, dude.
Uh-oh. I know what I'm doing this weekend.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, this week.
You should. Well, because now
he's
at it again. He's apparently at it again because now it's coming out on DVD. So he was, like, tweeting about, like, how excited he is for the DVD.
Yeah, only people who work for movie studios talk about DVD releases
exactly.
At this point.
Whoa, that's so true.
But, like, he definitely doesn't. He definitely
right,
doesn't
right,
work.
Right.
Like, he's not even... And this isn't someone I know from LA. I'm not going to get like too specific. Cause again, like I don't, if, you know, on the off chance that they are listening,
right.
I don't want, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just genuinely interested and want to know.
Tweet for the job you want.
Right.
Maybe.
That's what they always say.
He wants to be an ape. He wants to be a.
Right. Maybe. But it's true. Like everyone, I know people who like work at Universal and they're like, man, Fast Furious 8 DVD just came out. Can't wait. I'm like, motherfucker, are you serious?
Do you even have a DVD player?
Yeah.
Right. What are you doing?
Fucking Blu-ray? Like, okay. Anyway. Yeah.
I found Andy Serkis's performance over the top and hammy as Caesar.
Excuse you?
He touched my heart.
But like literally nobody got excited about that movie. Like it was in the 90s on Rotten Tomato, I think, or like, 80s, 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. By the way, we need to talk about my Rotten Tomatoes conspiracy theory at some point.
Uh-oh.
But
you can't just tease that. And then
Jack's conspiracy theme
song.
That's
my conspiracy theory theme song. That's how excited everybody on the show gets about. I find it weird. Like, it seems arbitrary at certain points whether they give something a rotten or a fresh. Like, when you look down to the individual reviews, like, sometimes it'll seem like a negative review and it'll get a fresh, and sometimes it'll seem like a positive review and it'll get a rotten. And so I think there must be, like, some payment going on, like, because, and also, like, when you compare Metacritic scores to Rotten Tomato scores, like, there'll be movies that are, like, in the 90s on Rotten Tomato that when you actually look at the Metacritic score, which is more detailed and takes the actual, like, star ratings and, like, number ratings into account, like, it's way lower. So I just think, I think something's going on there. I want to know.
Something's definitely going on there.
You should follow this thread.
I want to know what the process is for determining
what's going on at Big
whether
Tomato.
Like a 2.5 to 3 star review gets a rotten or a fresh. I'm coming for you.
I'm going to go undercover. I'm going to try to get hired there.
Let's move to less important things. Like potential nuclear war,
right?
That we're all facing.
Keep
LOL.
It light and fluffy.
Lol, 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 lol,
like
lol,
a mushroom
lol,
cloud.
Lol, lol, lol. Yeah, exactly. So I did want to talk about the fact that the fate of the universe hangs in the balance right now, is in the hands of somebody.
The tiny hands.
The tiny, tiny, trembling hands of Donald Trump, who, you know, there has been speculation by Republicans that General Kelly and Mattis have probably had conversations about, you know, whether they would physically tackle and physically restrain Trump were he to try and, like, take the nuclear football and I don't know
and
how nuclear footballs work, but I'm pretty sure they just have the launch codes, right?
So there are four things in the football. There's the black book containing the retaliatory options, a book listing classified site locations, a manila folder with 8 or 10 pages stapled together giving a description of procedures for the emergency alert system, and a 3x5-inch card with the authentication codes.
Okay, so knowing all that, now I feel fine, because Trump's not going to read that much.
Right.
He can't read.
Right.
He can't read. He doesn't like reading. We know that his aides have to give him, like, tweet-length, lots of pictures, one-sheets every day. He'll get bored halfway through and just give up.
So, just to give some historical context, President John F. Kennedy, when he got into office, he found that the generals, the people who we're currently counting on to, like, restore order and rein Trump in, those people during his administration were constantly pushing him to start a nuclear war with Russia. Like, it didn't matter, like, any chance they got, especially during the Cuban Missile Crisis in particular. But they were basically furious that America hadn't used our nuclear weapons in the Korean War. They were like, how could we not win that war? We
right.
had nuclear weapons. And so, like, he basically, it was like him versus a room full of generals during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he was like the only one being like, no, we're not
yeah.
like dropping bombs on Cuba.
And they're like, go get your dad's gun. We want to see it. We want to see it. Just shoot it really quick.
Right. So, yeah, that's how presidencies usually work. And now we're at a place where we're counting on those guys to stand in between Trump and, you know, bombing North Korea to distract people from the investigation into Russian meddling.
What you're referring to is that UK think tank.
Right. A UK think tank says that they think that the natural next sort of step in the Trump administration's actions is to start a war with Korea in order to distract from the Mueller investigation.
Cool. So, all right.
Yeah.
Where are we all moving to avoid the black rain? Any ideas? No, everyone's
nope.
just kind of
I mean,
sad. Everyone's resigned to the fact, like, I guess I'll just melt here.
I guess right. Russia, it sounds like they won't have their eye there. So.
Right.
Right.
Probably the safest place to be.
Yeah, maybe Russia is the safest place to be.
Can you imagine the influx of illegal American immigrants into Russia?
Right. So, I guess the next question is, how do we get out of this situation? And Steve Bannon, Trump's best pal, confided in somebody that he thinks Trump only has a 30% chance of getting through his entire first term, which I think is most Americans' dream at this point, is that he either, you know, gets impeached or they use the 25th Amendment to, you know, declare him unfit for office.
Which Trump doesn't even know what the 25th, or maybe he does now, but he reportedly didn't know what the 25th Amendment was.
Right. Is that so? Bannon said, you need to watch out for the 25th Amendment. And he said, what's that?
Yeah. Like,
what's
the
25th Amendment?
I think it was something more like, I think Trump was worried about impeachment or talking about impeachment. And Bannon was like, you should also probably be more worried about the 25th Amendment.
Right.
And he's like, the 21 who?
Yeah. Right. And that's how we know that Trump doesn't watch the West Wing.
Right.
because that's how I learned about the 25th Amendment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know what? Maybe I shouldn't have admitted that.
I know many people who love the show.
I learned it in my years of constitutional study.
right. Exactly. Not from studying Sorkinisms.
Right.
And there are some people who think that Kelly promoted his longtime lieutenant, Christian Nielsen, to Homeland Security head to like build numbers toward a 25th Amendment move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So when you look at the 25th Amendment, basically what it takes is the vice president plus a majority of the cabinet. So that means 13 of the 24 cabinet members have to declare the president unfit to invoke the 25th Amendment. But Trump can basically push back and say like, nah, I disagree. I should still be president. And if that's the case, then they would need a supermajority from Congress in both houses to actually uphold the vice president and cabinet's decision.
What's a supermajority?
So that means over, I believe, three-fourths? Hold on.
Two-thirds.
So, yeah, a supermajority would mean two-thirds of all House and Senate members to vote unanimously.
So which is what they would inevitably need, because Trump has never thought himself unfit for anything.
Making some moves. Yeah. He seems. Did you guys see that the White House press conference? Sarah Huckabee basically like started the press conference, turned it over to him, said something about like, "I always love to have Marines as guests on our press conference."
It was very strange.
I guess it was a very strange setup. It was like, "Why are you doing this?" And then he wasn't even really taking questions. He just starts delivering this monologue about how, you know, everybody's writing about how I'm here to control the president and control his tweets, and I'm not here to control him at all. But then, like, also detailed all these ways that he basically is, you know, orchestrating things and trying to control the president.
Right.
So it's like he's saying what Trump wants to hear, because that specific, we know Trump gets stuck on specific words. You know, and wants to shift away from that narrative, but then basically.
But I keep going back and forth between, you know, being worried that we're underestimating him, and then like reading these things coming out of the White House. And yeah, like that press conference, it was clear that he was saying the thing, like his subject line was like, I am not controlling the president, and he knew the president was going to like stop there.
Right.
And like, and then everything he said underneath it was like trying to calm the public.
Yeah.
Like, because another story that came out of the White House about Trump, out of that same Vanity Fair article, apparently I've only read one article in the last month. Another story about Trump was that he was just shouting, I hate everyone in the White House. Like, it's just
a fucking emo teen.
Yeah.
Like, I hate everyone.
Including himself, you know. It's right. Like, it got really dark.
It started with him looking in the mirror and screaming.
Yeah. And then, of course, Corker last week described it as an adult daycare, which we had a segment about that in season one of the Daily Zeitgeist last week that Allison wrote. But all right, I think we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the Bloids, you guys.
Bloid Watch.
And we're back for Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
Miles says it way cooler than me. So basically the premise of this segment is that tabloids, the things you see at the supermarkets with their salacious headlines that we all just dismiss.
I take it very seriously.
we all just dismiss other than Allison. We're going to be a little bit like the Men in Black in that we take the tabloids more seriously than most people here at the Daily Zeitgeist. The tabloids have had scoops. They were the first publications to report that John Edwards was cheating on his wife and had a love child with the witch who... No, I'm not like saying that as an insult. She was a self-professed witch.
She was
witch.
An actual witch.
Yeah, she was like, I use Wiccan powers to snag people. And I found her case pretty convincing that she was an actual witch.
Did she snag John Edwards?
Oh,
was
hell
it a spell?
Yeah, she did.
His, yeah, yeah, while his wife was on her deathbed.
Right. Oof. Cool. Cool move.
Cool move, witch.
they were among the first people to know that Steve Jobs was dying. They reported that they solved Enos Cosby's murder. They solved a key point in the OJ case.
Oh yeah, he was like wearing Bruno Magli shoes or something.
Right. They were the first people to know that Swayze was dying. They apparently knew early last year that Val Kilmer had cancer, which I didn't even realize that. They were just bragging about that in the edition that we were looking through. I think they knew it before Val Kilmer knew it. But yeah, they have the jump on a lot of stories. So yeah, we want to go through the tabloids and see what we can find. And so I get to go into our local grocery store once a week and buy all the tabloids off the shelves.
And look like a total insane person.
Look like a complete lunatic. But, you know, in addition to being occasionally right and knowing things before anyone else, I also think that they are underrated in terms of being a zeitgeist influencer. They get tons and tons of eyeballs. Like, that's the one thing. No matter how much technology changes, people still go to the grocery store and are still, you know, passing by these headlines. And that's significant because Trump is really tight with the publisher who owns basically all the same company owns the National Enquirer, the Globe, Us Weekly,
Star Magazine,
Star,
okay, yeah. The National Examiner, also Muscle and Fitness.
Right.
Not People.
No, they don't own People. People, no. Yeah, People
still belongs
people
to the
so,
people.
Yeah, People is still of the people for the people.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that company.
People, by the people.
By the people for the people.
People is the FUBU of tabloid
exactly.
magazines.
But yeah, they're all owned by that American Media Inc.
So the guy's name is David Pecker, who like owns all of these, and he's from Manhattan and like is the one person from Manhattan who was cool with Trump prior to him running for president and was pro-Trump the whole time. That's why you see all these like just horrible pictures of Hillary on the front page of all these. Also, we've noticed a strange anti-Steven Tyler bias
in the
running
Enquirer,
through
yes.
the Enquirer and other tabloids by David Pecker. And we were wondering why that might be. Like last week, we noticed that they were making fun of how ugly his feet are, which, by the way, his feet are fucking
they look, yeah, his toes
really
are throwing up
yeah,
gang
that's
signs.
Legit.
Straight
that was,
up gang signs.
That was a story that needed to be
his
told.
His toes look like gang signs.
They're throwing up gang signs. Like, that's fucking crazy.
That's just good journalism, letting the people know that right. that's what he's up to.
But, like, they also have a thing, like, sicko Steven cuts and runs. That all that's about is that, like, he had to cut a vacation short because he had a medical procedure.
Right.
And, like, they don't say what the medical procedure is, but they just use the fact that he had to have a medical procedure to be like the sicko Steven was on drugs all throughout the 80s and just like bring up his
well, I don't understand. Are they mad at him for ending a vacation?
So
or
this,
that,
no.
that
this
poor
is
resort.
No, no,
it that
Miles
poor
had
resort.
A, Miles has a theory on
it
this.
It all stems
really
back because Donald Trump was using Dream On at his rallies and Steven Tyler was like, yo, do not use my music at your fucking crazy white nationalist bullshit rallies and hit him with a cease and desist. So yeah, I think that made him salty. And then all Trump's got to do is be like, hey, this is John Miller calling. I think Steven Tyler is a piece of shit.
Right. Which is he has been known to do. Do we actually have that audio of him So this is Donald Trump calling. So Trump has a relationship, not just to David Pecker, but he loves tabloids. He used to call the tabloids, as himself and plant, you know, different like tips about him cheating on his wife, but also other times he would call as a person who was claiming to be Donald Trump's, associate.
Right, and named John Miller.
Named John Miller, and somebody recorded that. This is him pretending to not be himself.
Hey, Harry, what's your name again?
John Miller.
John Miller. Can you sort of, I guess we're going to try and put a story together. We have a deadline today.
He's coming out of a, you know, marriage that, and he's starting to do tremendously well financially.
Tremendously.
You know, there's a real estate depression in the United States, and he's probably doing as well as anybody there is, and frankly, he wants to keep it that way. And he just thought it was too soon to make any commitment to anybody. But he treated his wife well, and he treated, and he will treat Mama well. And, you know, he's somebody that has a lot of options. And frankly, you know, he gets called by everybody. He gets called by everybody in the book in terms of women. And, well, he gets called by a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, what about, I mean, this Carla Bruni? How important is she right now? Is she not?
Well, I think it's somebody that, you know, she's beautiful. I saw her once quickly, and she's beautiful and all. But I think that he's
I think.
Yeah,
he thinks
real smooth, John Miller.
He saw her. He saw her once.
John Miller, eh?
Yeah.
So, guys, what scoops did you find?
Okay, well, I was going through Us Weekly. See, and guys, this is a tool for you guys, so you don't have to embarrass yourselves by buying these. Let us buy them and then just tell you the weirdest shit that we read. One of my favorite things was Loose Talk, where they just take quotes from celebrities, where Kim Kardashian says, this is a quote on meeting husband Kanye West. He was asking his friends, who is this Kim Kardashian? He didn't know what my name was.
Wow.
So that's a good way to always start.
Big scoop.
That's cool that you should buy the tabloids in the stores, though, because I guess like they have this thing where you can open it up and you hear the celebrities' voices now.
Yeah, exactly.
That wasn't a Miles impression. That was Kim.
You can do
it. Kim in the studio. It felt like.
What do you got? Hold on. I got a couple of really stupid ones. They were also talking about a lot of celebrities having kids, and one was Spencer and Heidi Pratt from The Hills. Remember them?
Oh yeah.
So when he was interviewed, he said that on the birth of their son Gunner, he said, "Officially the most lit day of my life."
Oh my gosh! Wow. This issue that I have is actually the cover story is Heidi and Spencer's Spidey, for those in the know, their miracle baby. let's also point out that they named their kid Gunner.
Yes.
Gunner with an E.
Mm-hmm.
The day was it the day of or the day after?
Holy shit!
The Vegas, yeah. Like what? First of all, why are you naming your kid that to begin with? But like what? What poor timing and poor taste.
Yeah. I mean, as an Arsenal fan, I like the name Gunner because our nickname, the Gunners. But yeah, I think it should be with an AR.
Right.
Ooh, that's another weird thing. We say AR with the Gunner. Anyway.
Yeah.
Levels. There's levels. There's
much
levels.
Better.
Yeah. I have Spencer Pratt's dead eyes staring at me right now on the cover of this magazine. Their kid looks so over it. He's just like, really? Are we doing this?
I'm looking at the mansion that O.J. Simpson is holed up in. Apparently, having sex with a prostitute that looks exactly like Nicole,
no.
Which is weird.
Wait, they have a photo of the prostitute?
Yes.
How do they know she's a prostitute?
Because
I guess
she works for the Bunny Ranch, I think.
Uh-huh. Oh, so he's in Nevada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still in Nevada. I think his parole might
keep him out in a state
crossing
with
state lines. He did get an iPhone, though, which was something that I was excited about because he's been away from the outside world since before iPhones were a thing. So when OJ went in, there was just flip phones. Ben Affleck is spiraling, you guys. He's
deservedly so, I think, as we've seen in recent days.
Yeah. Wait, what? And spiraling in what way? I mean, it's such an easy thing to say someone's spiraling, like, is he, he's living on the street.
He's literally spinning. He's just spinning in circles.
So he was in rehab earlier this year and has been seen, like, drinking into all hours of the night recently. His face looks very puffy. He's got that puffy face that we have when we're, you know, when things aren't going so good.
Yep.
And Jennifer Gardner is now demanding that he get drug tested before having visitation with their kids.
He definitely needs help, and I feel for him in that aspect that, you know, anyone dealing with addiction, it's a very serious issue. But the last few days, what we've learned about his inappropriate, to say the least, behavior around women.
Mm-hmm.
And also the apology that he tweeted to that, like, former MTV VJ.
Tweeted.
The apology he tweeted.
It was the equivalent of just being like, my bad.
It didn't even hit the character limit. You know, couldn't even open the notes app.
And just do a screenshot,
just
like an
a
image.
Tweet, yeah. No punctuation, barely a sentence.
Well, you know, it could be a lot of guilt off the fact that him and Matt Damon know that they didn't write Good Will Hunting, right, Jack?
That's
you know what that sound means? Demons.
It's conspiracy corner. Yes, I believe that they did not write Good Will Hunting. They wrote a draft of Good Will Hunting that was a spy thriller in which, you know, that part where...
Oh, they wrote the Jason Bourne movies. Well, that's, right, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So that part where he's going around getting interviewed by, different think tanks and spy agencies, he takes one of those jobs and, like, goes and becomes, like, an international spy. And the screenwriter, William Goldman, who's, like, a... you know, legendary screenwriter, supposedly just told them, why don't you cut all that spy bullshit and just focus on the guy in Southie being a genius amongst his friends, and that's enough movie. I think that he did more than just give them that one sentence piece of advice. my logic is that, first of all, Matt Damon's movies all seem to have this, like, the roles he picks seem to have this, like, inner angst about being a fraud. Like, the first big role he picked coming out of Good Will Hunting, he could have picked any role, and he chose The Town of Mr. Ripley, in which he's pretending to be a better person than he really is. You know, the Bourne movies, he's, like, trying to forget a past in which he did something bad.
These dots are really connected for me.
This is crazy.
I don't know about anyone else listening, but...
And the main piece of evidence, I'd say, is Good Will Hunting is a great, great script. William Goldman has written Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Princess Bride. He's a great writer who was, like, somehow involved and claims he wasn't paid millions of dollars to rewrite it and then pretend he didn't. Matt Damon has written what since Good Will Hunting? His name on checks, and that's it.
No, Woo! He has people to do that. Come on.
Right. But it's just weird that a guy who writes an incredible screenplay would just be like, that was fun.
Now that I've proved to you guys that I know how to write, I don't have to do that shit anymore, because you already saw what happened, so don't ask me.
Do you think people that work for Matt Damon are sitting around like, has anyone seen him write?
Right.
Has anyone seen him hold a pen?
Have you seen his signature? It's a smiley face.
It's just an X.
What other goss you got in there? What other conspiracies?
I got that is not in the tabloids.
I
that
love
is just
celebrity
in
conspiracy
the
theories.
Tabloid.
Thank you for sharing that, Jack.
Well, speaking of celebrity conspiracy theories, one of the stranger ones that I discovered in, this is in the National Enquirer, is that Stevie Wonder can see. They believe that Stevie Wonder can see.
What evidence do they have that Stevie Wonder can see?
He's in one video, he's reaching out to embrace somebody, and they're like, no way he would be able to do that. At another point, he snatches a falling microphone midair. They're like, enough evidence.
Yeah, but Daredevil can do that shit.
Right.
And he's legit blind.
Mm. Exactly. Well, so this is a thing that... we discovered back at Cracked, we had this section of the site, Personal Experiences, where we would, like, talk to people who had different interesting life experiences. And we talked to a blind guy who had a congenital condition that made him blind. And he was saying that a thing that he and, like, his uncles who were blind and his father who were blind all dealt with is people thinking that they were fakers. Like, that's a thing that blind people deal with.
Like, punking them, like, what's up? What's up? Like, in front of them, see if they flinch.
What? She was like, my father had a coworker who would always rearrange the stuff on his desk to try and like prove that he wasn't actually blind and was faking. And Italy had like a whole like run of this where they like Italians were all like trying to prove that their blind neighbors were like just collecting a check and weren't really blind.
Wow.
It was like there were like national opinion pieces being written at the time about like how Italians need to get over their just suspicion of blind people. So that's a weird
thing. Can you imagine like public service posters on like a subway or something? Like, please just believe the blind people. Can you just leave them alone?
Yeah, they're just hating because to say you're visually impaired or blind is the easiest one because it's like you're saying you are and you get to wear sunglasses all day.
Right.
So I guess if you were like salty that you're working, you're like,
one.
This dude he acting like he blind, man, I could do that too. Watch. I'm blind. And I guess that fuels like their suspicion. I mean, again, not to seem insensitive, but you know what I mean? Like it.
Well, now you've got me thinking about, would it be the easiest one? Because like if you pretend to be paralyzed, you just have to sit all the time.
Yeah, but I could tickle you and then you'd be like, stop, quit playing. And then I'd be like, gotcha. You're not paralyzed.
I think for any of these, if you were to pretend to be impaired somehow, you can rely on the fact that most people don't know that much about medical science. And then just be like, well, have 70%. This is so offensive. I should just stop, probably.
Your impression of paralyzed people is just so offensive.
Wow. Yeah, my impression of paralyzed people sounds remarkably like Miles' impression of Kim Kardashian.
Kardashian? That's what you put.
Just closing things out on the celebrity death watch. They think Robert Redford is not looking good. Cher also not looking good.
How much of these are just guesses, though? You know?
I think they're guesses.
Like, Cher.
But yeah, I mean, they're guesses, but then we'll eventually pan out, and then that's when they take credit. But it's
I told you Cher would die.
Yeah, like when Brad and Angelina broke up, and it was like, we called it. It's like you've been saying that for a decade.
Right. And also, Cher, that seems like a pretty easy choice based on her ongoing Twitter feud with Donald Trump, that they'd be like, Cher's dying. She's dead. She's dying all the time. So,
and not to pull a card out of the Enquirer's book, but one of my conspiracy theories that I told you guys about, I've been saying that Dolly Parton is tatted up, sleeved up, and she finally admitted to having tattoos, I think many years ago, and I just didn't notice. But,
Very old article.
You were someone that like had this suspicion? You didn't know that she just did have all those tattoos?
Yeah, it was my story, my scoop.
Self-created, self-perpetuated.
That's why she wears like long sleeve shirts, is to hide her tattoos. And also she wears like a weird little like fingerless skin colored glove because she's hiding her hand tattoos, I assume.
Well, yeah, and she said, you know, she has keloid tissue from scars, which is why she even gets the tattoos. She said not because she's trying to like flex on people and be like, yeah, I'm this tatted up crazy person. She just wanted to cover up some scars.
Yeah, likely story.
Now she's covering up the cover-ups. What else is she covering up?
What else does Dolly Parton have to hide?
I bet she's behind Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh.
This goes deep.
We'll connect those dots at a later episode. And we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. We don't have a lot of time left, but in that time, I did want to bring on our Harvey Weinstein expert, Anna Hosnier.
You never have time for me.
Anna, so you've been following the Weinstein story and the fallout and sort of the chain reaction that this has caused in Hollywood.
Yeah, I've gone very deep into sexual harassment claims, and now I'm following everyone, and I'm going to start smoking people out myself.
Oh, yeah, you smoked me out this morning.
Yeah,
Thank you for that. I owe you a blunt.
Yeah. In my research, I looked really deep into Alfred Hitchcock and Tippi Hedren.
Alfred Hitchcock.
I'm sorry. Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock. Said Alfred Hitchcock. Hitchcock pot.
It keeps changing.
He
Alfred Hitchcock.
He was really terrible to the women in his movies.
Yeah, and Tippi Hedren...
I say with a smile in my voice for some reason. Like, he was really...
He was, like, the best at just being a terrifying woman. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, what a classic. You know, what a Hollywood classic.
Ledge.
Apparently one of the shots in The Birds, the way he got it was by tying an actual bird to her face, and the bird just, like, scratched the shit out of her.
And apparently that was... Because Tippi turned him down the night before. Right. He tried to kiss her or something
like
that.
Oh, no.
And he's like, mm-hmm.
Then you'll kiss these birds.
And he's like, good evening.
You won't kiss me, you'll kiss
yeah,
my
kiss
birds.
These birds then. I mean, how do you even tie a bird to someone's face also? What are the mechanics? Is it like around
wire?
Your ear?
Movie magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is no one talking about the abuse towards the bird?
I know.
Come on.
Whoa, birds rights.
Birds rights.
Birds rights activist.
An Amazon Studios head was just put on leave, Mr. Roy Price, for making inappropriate comments to a TV producer of The Man in the High Castle. And this woman came out about it in the summer, and they didn't do anything. So she came out again when the Weinstein stuff happened and was finally like, oh, maybe they'll take
me
seriously.
People are noticing this stuff now, yeah.
Yeah,
smart.
So
That's
the
smart.
Zero tolerance is starting to become a thing now that Weinstein has been ousted.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, you know, there was the O'Reilly thing, there had been rumors about him for a long time, and then finally, like, he was, like, there was enough smoke, and also people boycotted the advertisers enough that they finally fired him, and then Ailes came right behind him. So, like, I do think that there's sort of a snowball effect where these predators are being kind of smoked out.
Yeah, and to add to a little bit of that Bloyd news, I was reading something about Holly Madison, a former bunny who was on the Girls Next Door show, talked recently a lot about how abusive Hugh Hefner was, like, mentally, and what a rough time she had living in the mansion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hefner legacy is
sorted.
Mm-hmm. Sorted. Yeah.
That I've been to the mansion a few times, and... You can just, like, the energy in certain places are just, like, fucking bad. It's weird. It's, like, there's, like, a game room where, like, there's a bunch of arcade machines. And then, like, there's this other side room that has, a Tempur-Pedic floor, essentially, with, like, mirrors all around. And, like, we were shooting a video, and they, like, had to set up, like, some gear in there. And I was like, this just...
Yeah, Miles used to work for Playboy.
For the boy.
As a model.
As a model, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they told me I was too thick. So,
you have to tell that story.
That I was too thick?
Yeah.
Guys, yeah, on my Instagram,
not much of a story, Miles is just too thick.
Yeah, just too thick, yeah. If you just
it's more of a fact.
Check out my body. Yeah, on Instagram, I posted a picture, like, where, like, it was a bit I did on some video. I had, like, goth makeup on. And my mom texts me, and she's like, oh, I saw it. And I'm not being, this is my mom, Japanese voice, like, I saw a picture of you with makeup on. You look pretty. I said, yeah, I'm experimenting with my sexuality. Her response is, ha, 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 you're too thick. So I guess my mom's saying I am too thick-bodied to even experiment with my sexuality.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. To attract men. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Spooky Yuki.
Is that your nickname for...
Yeah, we call her Spooky. Her name is Yuki, but we like to...
It sounds like a slur.
No, it's fun. It's funny because I used to live in the back house of, like, the little guest house and at my mom's house.
Because you're too thick to fit in the doors
too
of
thick
the regular
to live,
house.
Yeah, she was like, you're too thick to live in the house. Go to the back. And, like, everyone would just be, like, I don't know, smoking weed back there playing video games. And sometimes my mom's just a fucking ninja, dude. Like, just creep and just like, what are you doing in there? And we're like, oh, shit. Spooked us out. So, spooks to the Ukes. It's a term of endearment. I love you, Mom.
Yeah, so anyway, it's a good time for women to start coming out about sexual abusers, and hopefully more people in power who have been abusing their power, if you will.
The real test will be when we see it happening to people that are universally liked. I mean, it took years for anything to stick with Cosby, and then even, like, when he was finally on trial, you have these depositions where he's being, like, basically being like, yeah, I did it. And then the jury's like,
jury.
And then, yeah, then there's a mistrial. So I feel like, I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, like, I'm glad that this is happening, but it's also kind of like you get a little bit of a piling on because, like, nobody really liked Harvey Weinstein and was just, like, afraid to say it. So it's like, in some ways, now it's, like, publicly okay to shit on Harvey Weinstein. And
right.
I think, like, you know, I don't know, when we find out that someone that we all love is a huge monster, it's more like, oh, I can't, I maybe we should hear both sides. Like, I feel like that'll be the real test.
That's right, Al Roker.
Well, it's interesting. It's still
purely speculation. There's no hey, don't
allegedly.
Sue me.
Not even allegedly.
Not even allegedly. I'm just saying, just calling out names.
This podcast,
that was an example
where they're telling us to shut it down right now.
I know people are still defending Hitchcock. They won't give in to that. They won't. They claim Tippy's lying.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, like, and like look
like,
at
they
like,
won't give in.
Woody Allen and Roman Polanski. It's just like, well, you know, all these people that still do Woody Allen movies and are just like, oh, I separate the art from the artist. And it's just like,
I don't know if those women can separate the assault from the artist. But,
right.
You know,
right.
But.
Well, thank you, Anna, for coming on.
No problem.
Our Harvey Weinstein, everybody.
An expert.
Don't sue me.
Oh. all right. We're going to go out on just a happy story. This couple who got released by the Taliban and apparently had 3 kids while in captivity.
That is how the fuck are you going to have 3? You're in a Taliban cave prison and you're like, you know, I can't imagine how that's an environment where you're thinking like, when are we going to get out? And he's like, hey, you trying to fuck?
Hey, it's a good distraction.
Just get my mind off some shit. But that poor woman, like, I can't believe the stressful environment of being a Taliban prisoner and you're pregnant on top of that.
Maybe she's into it. Don't, you know, you don't victimize her when she's, I mean, she's a victim of the Taliban, but like in terms of her relationship, yeah, maybe some people have their like 5-year plan and it's like, I got this window, prime childbearing years.
Yeah,
we're
like,
not going to let a little kidnapping get in the way
of
our
dreams. Biological clock is ticking. I don't care where we are.
Right. Yeah. They probably, you know, they asked the Taliban like, can we like, you guys mind like just like freezing our eggs while we're here?
Yeah, right.
They're just like nope. And they're like, all right, I guess we'll fuck.
They're like, we actually have a fertility clinic and a great prenatal care too. The Taliban. Little know. Tell your friends that. You know that story doesn't get out enough about us. The Taliban. Great prenatal care.
All right, that's gonna do it for us for episode 1 of season 2.
Season 2
coming at you. Allison, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Allison L. Zeidman. And, that's enough, probably.
Okay. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me, probably at Chick-fil-A. no. Wait, yeah, maybe. The chicken is really good, y'all. I'm not gonna lie.
And you can find me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow the podcast at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a Facebook page too. So go there.
And like us.
We are still working on getting the website up and running so that we can get you guys footnotes.
Yeah, these aren't just lies that we're trying to push.
Right, exactly.
Most of this is based on facts.
See our sourcing. All right. Until tomorrow.